Oh yeah, about to get my Cinema Stash rehash on.
Let's go!
What?
Oh yeah.
Podcasting from Chico, California, and home of the world's largest functional yo-yo. They are Cinema Stash Rehash. Join them as they talk movies, make fun of them, and discover how they fuel your everyday life paranoia. Let me welcome you to...
And welcome to the first episode of Cinema Stash Rehash.
What's up?
And tonight's episode is going to be on Animal House. It's one of the most influential movies that I've probably ever seen in my life, compared to, you know, partying and just, you know, getting it on. My name is Jason McLendon.
And I'm Wyatt Campbell.
Yo, I'm Chris Matson.
And actually, I think before we really get into this episode, I think we should maybe play a game.
Games are fun.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm down for a game. Yeah.
But what's it going to be?
Inspired by a popular mobile app, it's Do This or That.
And welcome everybody to Do This or That, a silly question game where I'm going to ask questions and you have to decide to do either this or that. Let's meet our contestants.
Sean Connery.
It's Chris.
And Palpatine. I use the dark side of the Force.
Excellent. I like the dark side of your ass.
Baby Connery.
Fantastic. Are we ready to play?
First question.
Ram your fist up your ass every morning, or have one finger up your nose at all times?
Who doesn't ram their fist up their ass every morning?
I'm going nose.
Well, I ram my fist up my ass every day. I mean, shit, can't you tell?
You're a poser. You're a poser, Palpatine. You know nothing about fisting in the morning.
Why do you think I walk with a cane? Or my hands in the air, for that matter.
Touché.
I'm recovering from that morning's jammy.
What's up there, didn't you?
Next question. That's right, Palpatine took control. Fuck you, Jason. Palpatine's on board.
Maybe, is Jason answering? What?
No. Now, from now on. Shut up, Palpatine. Fuck you. Okay.
Okay, next question. Fart popcorn or sneeze milk?
I'm gonna say
people don't already.
You can't answer. Sean Connery only says that.
Sean Connery, you're speechless. I see. You should have your hand down your pants.
Farting popcorn sounds fun. I'll take that.
And last question. Have explosive diarrhea every day for the rest of your life, or eat a bowl of poop once.
All right, let me take this one first. Okay, Sean Connery, take this one first.
How big is a bowl of poop? Are we talking salad bowl? Are we talking...
It's a cereal bowl.
Cereal?
A full cereal bowl.
Are we talking poop? Palpatine cereal bowl? Or are we talking...
Well... No, Palpatine. Fuck you, bitch. It's wheat bran.
Oh, then I'm going to have to take the bowl of poop.
Yeah, I think I'd rather eat shit than have explosive diarrhea for the rest of my life.
One and done kind of thing? All right, and that was fun. Thanks for playing. You guys have won nothing. We'll see you next time on Do This or That.
All right, that was fun. And anyway, we'll take a quick little piss break and we'll come right back for Animal House.
Animal House. So.
Greg, what is the worst fraternity on this campus?
Well, that would be hard to say, sir.
Who dumped a whole truckload of fizzies into the swim meet? Who delivered the medical school cadavers to the alumni dinner? Every Halloween, the trees are filled with underwear. Every spring, the toilets explode.
You're talking about Delta, sir.
Of course I'm talking about Delta, you twerp!
So, this movie, let's be honest, this movie pretty much inspires not only just every party movie that's pretty much been after that, but it inspires all parties.
Yeah.
You know, it inspires all parties. It relates to...
As far as we know it.
Well, you know, I mean, you want to have a targa party. A toga.
A targa party.
I meant toga party. Yeah. You want to have a toga party because of this movie, but it's like you're waiting for... You're hoping that when you have the toga party that everybody else will show up with togas, but nobody probably will.
Or will they?
Hey, bitchin' party.
Thanks.
It's no toga party, though.
Oh. Fucker.
I need another drink.
Toga!
Yeah, have you guys ever been to a toga party?
No. Exactly.
I've never really been to many themed parties. Was anybody in a frat?
No.
I was going to ask that. I mean, I was born and raised here in Chico, and we know the college is here, but when you're born here, you don't have the...
No.
The college experience, per se.
You know, I know, actually, Wyatt, you and I have been to a few frat parties.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's for some reason, it's like, you know, I've never had the call to want to be in a frat or a fraternity.
Well, what's the point when you have, like, a local crew? You know, frats are for people who move away to college and they have no friends.
Pretty much.
I mean, or you're like a kind of like in this movie, a legacy or whatever, where your folks went there and you could easily get in because of your...
Flounder.
Yeah, Flounder.
Flounder.
A la Flounder.
You'll be known as Flounder.
I've never seen a bad frat experience, though. Is there...
I've heard, yeah, sure, like people, you know, dying from alcohol poisoning or whatever, you know, but...
Yeah.
But,
That would be pretty bad.
As far as my, it's Kevin Bacon's first role.
Yeah.
First role to see Kevin Bacon, and we've all know the, you know, 6 to 9 to 25,000 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Yeah.
This was his first role.
Yeah, who knew?
It was great to watch him because he got fucking such a baby face.
He does.
I mean.
Yeah, and then once you realize it's Kevin Bacon, it's like... You know, it's the least looking like Kevin Bacon you've ever seen Kevin Bacon look like Kevin Bacon.
You're like, is that Kevin Bacon? Maybe I think that's Kevin Bacon.
Maybe Hollow Man.
Yeah.
He didn't look.
Yeah, he was, it's hard to see in that one.
But, you know, this movie was, there's just so many great lines and just a quick, you know.
Yeah, it's a series of one-liners, you know. It really was.
The plot
is actually the thing I like about this movie is that like the plot is basically like you could write it in like 4 words, you know. It's just like Dean Wormer has an unhealthy obsession with the Deltas and like how they behave.
Oh yeah.
And he's made it his life mission, and his meat puppet, who he literally has his hand up the ass, Greg.
Oh god.
To like put the Deltas out of business, you know, and it's funny because like I think that part is funny that Dean Wormer is that obsessed with like their mischief, you know, whatever, and to the point where it's like the crazy construct of the universe throws his wife Otter's way, and Otter ends up, you know, sacking his wife.
And let's be honest, Otter is basically the modern day Quagmire.
Otter is that douchebag that in this movie you pull for, but if he was in like the other side of the fence, you'd hate that guy.
Oh, he deserved to get his ass beat. Absolutely.
Yeah.
After watching that movie, I was thinking, he's pretty much a 70s virgin.
He is not a virgin, Chris.
After watching this movie, you think after he's 79, in 79, he's pretty much the nowadays version of Ryan Reynolds. And so when you go back and watch Van Wilder today, it's kind of an interesting, you know, contrast to that movie. I Want to Thank You. I have never seen Animal House before I went and purchased it at Best Buy. Thanks, Best Buy. And it was, I hadn't seen it. It was good. I liked it. It wasn't, I think maybe I wanted to like it more than I did. Seeing all the posters and all the Jim Belushi stuff, that I was really wanting to like it, and I felt kind of like, I've seen this before, but that's not really fair because that was the first time it was done. So it was kind of like a weird, bypass. I really liked it. I enjoyed it. Thank you for making me watch it, I would say.
It's a classic.
It's an influential film, really, overall. It's just something that it, you know, if you didn't grow up,
the names.
There's a lot of names in it.
I mean, you got like the director, John Landis. The writers included Harold Ramis.
Yes.
Who in fact, wanted to play the role of Boone.
Yes.
Who was, like, you know, the number two in the frat
next But he to was considered too young.
He's too old. Too old.
I mean, that's what I meant to say,
yeah, so that would have been interesting if he played him. But, yeah, you know, you can go down the list, and all these notable actors, Donald Sutherland is in it, and so on. John Belushi, obviously. But
he, Donald Sutherland actually had one of my favorite parts in the movie, which was when they are all sitting in his house and he goes, does anybody want to smoke some pot? And it was just so hilarious because, like, you know, sometimes you put yourself in that position, especially when you first start smoking weed, and you're like, I gotta lock everything and close the blinds.
It was a different time, though.
Oh yeah,
it was
1962.
Then. Oh yeah,
I mean, you might want to actually lock your doors. I mean, that's it made sense then.
It was a big deal. I mean, you know, I mean, it's been a big deal for a long time, but it was just one of those. It's like, and I can't remember the guy's name now. All of a sudden, but he's like, "Oh my God, you're blowing! Can I buy some pot from you?"
Oh yeah, Pinto.
Pinto, yes, yeah. that's exactly.
That's a great scene because, you know, it's like he's like, so wait, you're telling me that we could be a, you know, like a speck of dust on the fingernail of a big being?
Could be another universe. Yeah,
that was perfect. That was good.
And then he's like, am I going to go psycho? And he's like, there's a distinct possibility.
Yeah. I actually heard a rumor that Donald Sutherland was actually the only reason why that movie was made. If he didn't sign on, they weren't going to greenlight it. And they got it. They needed a big name. There wasn't
There's actually another really funny aspect to that. What you just said is that he was so unsure of the success or the possible success of this movie that he was offered royalty rights, which means he could have been paid millions of dollars. Instead, he decided, because he didn't believe this movie was going to do anything, he decided to take like a lump sum of like $75,000,
and just
went with that, and that was it. But, you know, it just goes to show that after the years of the popularity of this movie, that it ended up like he could have been paid nearly $3 to $4 million for this, and at that time it was like $3 to $4 million would have been a fucking substantial amount of cash.
Well, right now it's a substantial amount of cash.
Even now, but still.
Which makes me kind of want, I mean, I know it was successful back in the day, but I wonder how much of that royalties comes from now that it's a cult classic and it's like you could go to Best Buy like Chris did and buy it easily, you know,
for $7.50.
It's pretty much in the dollar bin. If you want to get a Blu-ray, it's a couple more dollars.
$5,
$7 bin. Can you answer me this though? Because growing up, of course you watch Blues Brothers, you enjoy it. I didn't really watch Saturday Night Live then. Jim Belushi to me, that's exactly the point. He's funny and I enjoyed him, and his facial expressions were hilarious.
Yeah,
and he was really fun. I really liked his character in the movie. I remember thinking, I really thought he was gonna be better. Jim, you know, John Belushi was going to be. I was kind of disappointed. I don't have any reference to John Belushi whatsoever.
Like the movie.
I love Jim Belushi. Shout out Jim Belushi. Yeah.
John Belushi is, you know, he's. I mean, I'm sure you like could make the connection if you haven't heard. He's like the main influence on like Chris Farley.
Totally. Yeah. His facial expressions were perfect.
Yeah.
And he was the bumbling, you know, smashed the guitar against the wall. Funny.
Which, by the way, was an improvised scene.
Really? Yes. I didn't
know that. Like the guitarist didn't know it. Neither did the people.
You can kind of tell by their facial expressions. They were kind of covering a little more wary than they would if...
That's actually another funny little part about that is that that scene was actually the only damage to that frat house was that scene. And the frat actually framed on it.
John Belushi is famous at that
point. Oh, yeah.
You know, He was on SNL and
absolutely. But that's really all SNL was the only thing. I mean,
but that was big. But that was big time.
Yeah, for sure. But that was his first movie.
Oh yeah. Well, and I mean, but his comedy, I think, like this movie, is kind of like the first of its kind, you know? So it's like John Belushi doesn't seem as funny as he was back then to like us now, because he's inspired so many generations of these physical comedians.
Right.
So it's like when I watch it, I'm like, this is what my parents were always like, oh, when I was like a kid, like, this is the most hilarious guy you'll ever see, you know, like, and it's sad that he died or whatever. But in between then and now, there's been all these just amazingly, you know, similar comics or whatever. And it kind of waters down what he does, because he wasn't, you know, his span was like 4 or 5 years, you know. That's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, no, he was young.
Yeah, it's crazy. But that entire scene, start to finish, with he's going down the line of the cafeteria, picking up food and putting on his tray, you know, right, and like wolfing down the Jell-O and yeah, shit.
Oh, man.
That's all improvised. And then even the
whole thing,
the zit scene, like that is an improvised scene.
They had no idea what was coming.
Yeah, like when he spit all over the people in the booth, like they didn't realize.
All genuine responses to that.
My least favorite scene and my favorite scene are both John Belushi. And my favorite scene is a quick scene. You wouldn't even notice if you blinked your eyes, but someone throws him a beer.
He
catches that beer.
It's amazing.
And it's so freaking, I hope they did it in one take. I'm sure they didn't.
The best part of it is that another one flies above his head and it's just like, yeah, you know, it's like, that's how like
no reaction.
It was so funny. And then, but I hated the freaking ladder scene. The ladder scene was so when he's looking in the, I mean, the woman is very attractive. The ladder part is just so, I mean, the physics of jumping on a ladder move, and he's making so much noise, and this girl's staring at the window, but she can't see this guy looking in the window. And it was, you know, like that part was, okay, well, this is kind of creepy, and it's not really funny to me, and it doesn't make sense.
Well, I like that, because actually that was one of my favorite scenes. So I enjoyed
it. Really? Okay, so there you go. Yeah, it was funny when it first started. But
because that scene particularly has been rehashed by so many other, like, you know, Family Guy's done it. A whole lot of other movies have related that scene to other aspects of different movies, per se, in different ways. But for some reason, I mean, I love that scene so much. And I love the fact that they're playing it off like he's getting to indulge himself in something that, like, you only dream that you could do that, you know?
I mean, I like how we're not even talking about the fact that, like, who the fuck has a ladder? Like,
in the bushes.
Yeah. And on top of that,
let alone an extension ladder.
We're not talking about how John Belushi's apparently invisible, because he's literally, like, I mean, staring at him the entire time.
Yeah. Like, she was doing it for him, which made it okay to watch. It's not that creepy if she's, you know, no, it was terribly creepy.
Although it is, I think it is funny, though, like, at that point where it's getting to the point where it's like, how is she not seeing him? And then he like turns around at the camera and he's like, wiggles his eyebrows.
It would have been great if she like just threw him a little look. She's like, oh, you're there.
She
you know,
it. She knew it the whole time.
She's like, here's my boobs. But
all right, I'm gonna ask you a little question that's kind of a like an insider question. Mm-hmm. Maybe the wives and girlfriends turn the podcast off for a minute. Is it just me or the women of 78/79? A little more attractive than the women of 2016/2017.
Because they're more real.
I don't know what it is. I mean, I don't know why.
If you're talking about like who they prop up as being beautiful these days, then yeah, I know what you mean.
Like it was just different. I mean, it was interesting watching a movie, seeing kind of the girls get objectified. Not kind of the girls got a, you know, whatever. Well, but
I mean, or like titty scenes with real titties.
It was different. It's different to see. You know what I mean? Like, it's, I don't know. I wanted to comment on that. It's nice to rehash these movies and go back and watch older movies that have a different sense. There was a different sense. It was a different time then. You know, as far as the pot scene where they lock the doors, I thought that was funny maybe. But at the same time, I thought that's an interesting aspect of the time.
A great scene, actually, that makes a lot of sense of what you're talking about is the scene when I think it's Dougie, but I don't really sure what his real name is. But when he's sitting in the car and being jacked off by his girlfriend, and she's wearing a rubber glove.
Yeah.
And she's jacking him off.
Greg
in the
likes
car.
His hand jobs sanitary, apparently.
Yeah, apparently.
Never explained anything about that.
And that's just a product of the time where sex is probably kind of maybe frowned upon in a sense, or I'm not saying that's what it was, but it's like,
is it supposed to be this soft?
Right.
Like, no, lady. It's not
supposed to be. My mind is drifting. I'm not in the moment right now.
Well, I mean, I think that's like probably like an exaggeration off of, some people probably did that, but it was probably wasn't as common. But I think they're just like painting a picture of the 50s preppy, you know, and because the whole time you don't know it until it's like the last hand job scene when she's just like, you know what, and like peels it off and you're like, what, she's wearing a fucking glove?
Exactly.
Like, why?
So I go back to my previous question and say, well, is it because they're the 60s ladies? Because you're right, it was based in the 60s, right? Not
it was based in the 60s.
It was made in 78, but yeah. it was
1962. Yeah,
it was based later on.
Yeah, there was definitely, I think there was definitely that like post-World War II kind of like charm school pretentious, you know.
Yeah, there was still like, segregation was a thing.
Product of the baby boomers.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of, I mean, a little bit maybe.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Did a good job of dating this movie. Like everything, I mean, I don't know. I didn't live back in the 60s, but,
right.
You know, when I watched it the other night, I'm like, and I even read how they had all the actors go get haircuts from this like really good barber, I guess, who made a bunch of, you know, time period haircuts for them, because their hairs, the hair in this movie all looks pretty old school. And but yeah, like everything about it is very, seems time period appropriate, you know, like,
oh, definitely.
You don't really see any flaws in that.
Well, yeah, and I don't know, for some reason I just really, because I grew up with this movie and it always clicked with me for some weird reason, and that's all I got.
All right, guys. So how about this? If you would you recommend this movie to a woman, say your girlfriend, your wife, any woman out there? Is this something that you would recommend? Say, hey, you know, a lot of movies we watch, you can actually say, hey, this is a pretty good movie. In my man opinion, I think a woman would like this movie. What would you say? Because I would say, there isn't a lot of redeeming qualities in this movie for a woman, as far as that stuff kind of goes. I mean, obviously there's the boobs faction. It's a guy movie. It's as a guy movie should be. It's not, you know, it's National Lampoon. It's a funny movie.
Right.
But there wasn't, as far as movies go, and maybe that was something at the time. You know, the women were kind of they were ditzy, stupid, and you know, naked most of the time.
Right. Yeah.
The strongest. Besides the main woman, which I don't remember her name.
Katie.
Katie,
yes.
Which, and at the same time, she was cheating
Karen
on.
Allen.
She was cheating on.
Yeah.
You know,
she liked that,
so
professor,
like,
dick.
Yeah, so it was like, you know, there was not a lot of redeeming qualities for. I just can see where if you were a woman watch this movie, you wouldn't really enjoy.
To be honest, there's not really very many redeeming qualities for anybody, because this is not a movie that anybody really learns a
that's
life
true.
Lesson.
That's true. Yeah.
There's no life lesson that's learned in this movie. You make terrible decisions the entire movie. And then when shit goes bad, all you do is, what do? We get revenge.
That's true. It's not that type of movie.
It's not. This movie really is a fun movie. So yes, I mean, to your question, I would definitely recommend this to any girl, my wife, my
life. With a sense of humor.
Exactly. But you would have to probably say, you know, this movie is fucked in many ways, but great in so many ways.
They kill a horse.
Yeah.
Yes, they
do. Which is interesting.
But on accident. So it's not like
it's
not like it was a purposeful.
Do they kill it or they just freeze it in time?
I can't. It depends. And now we're watching Harry Potter, which it makes it easier to.
Yeah.
No, it was.
I will say, I mean, I like, my wife has a love-hate relationship with this movie. Like, she likes it because of the reasons I like it. But she hates it for her, like, with her feministic, you know, like,
right.
Views.
Right.
Because, like, you're right. It's like, they, you know, like, all of the snobby girls are dumb. And then, like, the one strong female character is, like, still kind of a doormat for her boyfriend that she loves, you
right.
know? Like, she's like, throwing herself at the frat, like, to, like,
I don't know,
serve drinks.
My girlfriend loved it for the same reason, Jason. I mean, she grew up on it, and
right.
her dad watched it with her. She's young, I guess.
Oh,
well, that's another thing, is like, my wife never
her
saw
family,
it until I
right.
showed it to her. Like,
oh, okay.
I grew up on it. She didn't. When I showed it to her when we were like in our late 20s, she's all like, yeah, that's okay. You know, kind of like, like you're, you know, like,
yeah.
It was okay,
yeah.
I guess. I don't know why you like it so much.
Yeah, she's a family of brothers, and that's what they, you know, they
yeah.
watch that. And that's, if you grew up on it, that's awesome. But I, you know.
This movie is still very much so relevant in a way. You know, I mean, just because it's made in the 70s, but perceived to be in the 60s, it's influenced so much. And even though, I mean, the soundtrack is even still relevant.
Yeah.
You listen to the music and the soundtrack, I still listen to that fucking music still to this day.
Yeah.
So it's not like it's not relevant. It's
Very influential.
Yeah, great soundtrack for sure.
Yeah. Oh, it's one of the better soundtracks for one of these type of movies that I've probably ever really listened to.
The
band Otis Day and the Nights. The lead singer was originally, his name is Dwayne Jesse.
Right, exactly.
So but the success of the movie drove him to change his name to Otis Day and then start a band with the Knights.
Yeah. I watched it not knowing that, and I was like, oh, yeah, Otis Day. That's a decent name.
His name that should be Otis Day.
500 yeah. minutes. A couple of critiques I do have, I will say it ran a little long for me. If we're talking about actual movies, there was a lot of extra. I felt like it was funny parts, but okay.
It was an hour and 41 minutes in it. You're right.
You know, there was things that they did that were funny, and there's things that, like all movies, and it was a National Lampoon movie. As a movie buff, do you know where in the sequence of movies this National Lampoon was?
Is the first.
Was it the first one they made?
This is the first National Lampoon.
Interesting. So that it kicked off, you know, a couple of my favorite movies, you know. Yeah.
Kicked it off with a good bang.
So that was really my only critique was that it was really long. I mean, you're gonna hit with jokes, you're gonna miss with jokes. It was a different time. Yeah. It was different, you know, there was the racial stuff within the bar. With the black guys and the you know still in the white
can we
girls
dance with
and the white guys just left they didn't even like fuck the white girls I'm out of here and that was it's just a, you know that's okay so it's a different time so
I think this is the part that annoyed my wife the most. I don't want to go too into it, but it was that scene when Otter was making out with the girl and she had her shirt off and then the guys came in. And just she just like jumped out and then like jumped into the car like they just abandoned the shit out of them. And then as they're walking home, that girl is still like, thought he was really nice.
Yeah.
My wife, my wife was just like,
defending
what
the shit
fuck
out of him.
Man.
Yeah. That's funny.
So, yeah. But that scene was super controversial studio wise. The studio did not like the idea of them going to a quote unquote like Negro bar and, you know, having an altercation and running away from it. And, and they had Richard Pryor actually come in. I think it was John Landis had him come in and screen the movie. And Richard Pryor was just like, this movie's funny as shit, you know?
Don't change a shit dime. Yeah,
don't change anything.
Anything. Awesome. Yes.
Awesome. So real fast, we do this once episode. I have to do it. We're going to walk over. We're going to knock on Alan Alda's door real fast. I just want to know his opinion of Animal House. I know he had a big part in MASH. Not Animal House, but... He was popular, so I want to know his opinion. Hold on a second. Let's walk over there real quick. We're just going to give it a... Alan.
Hey, guys.
Hey, I wanted... things are coming out. I wanted to know, what did you think about Animal... Did you see Animal House?
Animal House? Yeah, I saw Animal House back in the day. When we were filming MASH, Animal House was kind of the competing comedy on the movie scene for... You know, when we did the MASH series, there was a lot of want to do movies like that were that funny. And
you know, I don't want to interrupt you. I went on Netflix. You say this all the time. I went on Netflix the other day, and actually, it's actually a drama. MASH isn't considered a comedy. You've said this before. It's not the best comedy ever made, Alan. It's not. I don't think it's a comedy. I watched it a couple times. There was more drama than anything. Anyways,
with all due respect, Chris. Suicide isn't easy, and that's a funny line when you think about it. When it comes down to it, MASH was really a comedy.
Anyways, let's just... Did you like it?
Did I like MASH or Animal House?
We know you liked MASH. Did you like Animal House?
Animal House is a great movie. I think they really took the pedestal that we set up for them and went off with
just
it.
Just get out. He's taking credit again. Jason, just let's go.
Was that MASH or MASH?
We're talking about MASH here, Jason.
I was confused. I thought we were talking about MASH.
All right, Alan, thanks. Just go back and go.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to go back into my cupboard over there. You guys let me know when you need me again, okay?
All right.
Bye.
He's going back to Narnia.
Perfect.
Thanks, Alan.
Well, you know, before we sign off on this movie, I received some emails from my connection who's got some of these secret outtakes.
Oh,
and this first one that I'm gonna drop for you guys on the first episode involves a movie from the 90s called First Night, starring Sean Connery.
I've been asking you for those outtakes for a while. This is awesome.
They were hard to find, Chris, but you know, I came through.
I'm excited.
And it's typical Connery. I mean, you hear the guy's a bit of a hard ass. So, yeah, anyway, this is basically just a little bit of an outtake, audible.
I heard these are good. All right, cool.
Most excellent.
All right, Sean. From the top. Okay. I was just a boy when I first walked up this hill to see you, though.
Okay.
One more time. All right.
Okay, from the top.
Seriously. I was just a boy when I first walked up this hill to see what would soon become my city. I named it Camelot.
Cut. Wait.
What?
It's Camelot.
Yes, I said Camelot.
Not Camelot.
What do you mean, Camelot?
All right, let's do another thing.
For fuck's sake. Okay, one more time. We'll get it this time or I'll beat you. I was just a boy when I first walked up this hill to see what would soon become my city. I named it Camelot. You motherfucker.
Cat, okay.
You can take your Americanized King Arthur story and your overpaid American Lancelot and shove it up your for all I fucking care, this picture could tank. It'll still be taking the lead actress back to my trailer to and you, director, will still be sucking my and cradling my on a daily basis. Connery, out.
Well.
So yeah, I mean, as you can see, he's...
He gets a little pissed off.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if he's butthurt because Richard Gere was getting paid more or if it was because Richard Gere had the love interest, you know, which was Guinevere, his wife.
Yeah. And, I, you know, Camelot is a hard word to say. It, you know, it is a, you know,
well,
it's an American version of a wonderful story.
So. Somebody like Connery, he comes a lot. You know? Like that.
He's like, he asked a question like he didn't understand it. So
I've heard he's had the goldest finger out there.
Oh boy,
terrible.
So
I don't know. In shows like, I mean, the rehash shows, it's probably pointless to do a. To do with like a rating system. I mean, you guys, these are all some of our favorite movies.
Yeah.
I mean, if Jason chose this movie, I will say thank you for choosing this movie. I said it before, I liked it. Give it a 4.5 out of 5 for being original, funny.
I'm just glad it wasn't out of 10.
There was some a lot of sexy boobs. If it was out of 10, I'm going to give it, what's 4.5? A 9. I'll give
9?
It
a 9 out of 10. Ooh, let's do a 10 rating system. That way we can get really technical and stupid shit.
I'd have to say if we were doing a rating system because I grew up with the movie, I'm not going to say a 10 because it's not a 10. You know, it's like, you know, 9.2 for me.
Yeah.
You know, I grew up with it. It's a very watchable movie. If you haven't watched this fucking movie, go out and fucking watch this movie.
Yeah.
Also, sorry about the spoilers.
I guess we should lead in with that.
That might be something to start
this
with.
Is a rehash, by the way.
Yeah, this is a rehash. It was like 1978. So if you haven't fucking watched this movie,
if you're, you know, under the age of 20, if you were born in the 21st century, we'll cut you some slack. But really, go see those movies. Especially, I mean, Animal House. If you've seen American Pie and you haven't seen Animal House, if you've seen National Lampoon.
That's a good point. Let's do that. Couple movies that you would equate this movie to. A couple movies that you would compare this movie.
Yeah.
I mean, I would say my movies exactly are. If you haven't seen, damn it.
Well, Van Wilder would be one.
Yeah, Van Wilder.
Well, Van Wilder was kind of like a ridiculous
rehash of this, basically.
Because he was actually in that. He was the dad in that. He was.
Yeah, Tom Matheson.
Yeah,
yeah.
He was Van Wilder's dad.
Which was kind of fun. I mean, like that, you know, if you'd seen Animal House, it was like, oh shit, okay, that I could totally see Otter's son being.
Would you just a quick question, because I'm kind of reliving the whole world here. Would you consider, this is an old movie though. Would you consider Porky's one of those falling in the same category style?
Because Porky's was like 1980 or 81.
Yeah,
was definitely on the wave.
Just ridiculous, you know.
Yeah.
This movie had more, I guess the parts were a little funnier, the actions.
Well, I'm not saying Porky's was a great movie.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just saying general, I mean, there was...
You could lump Porky's into the same genre.
You can.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Porky's is terrible, but at the same time,
hey,
there
Porky's
was like some
is
fun.
Not that
there
bad.
Was a couple
some
scenes that
shit.
Were fun.
Yeah,
I didn't like Porky's.
Yeah.
There was a couple scenes that were
absolutely
watchable.
Was there any other like ridiculous fun facts about this movie?
Well, you know, when John Belushi's chugging that bottle of Jack, it's indeed iced tea.
Yeah.
And that had a lot more to do with the fact that kind of the obligation of Ivan Reitman and John Landis was to keep Belushi under control.
Yes.
Because he had, you know, he did have well-known addiction problems and alcohol problems.
Yeah.
So they like they set him up in a place miles away from like the hotel where the entire cast was, and like they purposely like put all the cast like the Deltas together to like get them to bond, you know, and kind of like develop a frat mentality.
Mm-hmm.
But they kept Belushi far away, and he would also go weekly back to New York to do SNL.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I heard he did like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday filmed the movie, and then the rest of the weekend, the week he was in New York for SNL, it's pretty.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not surprising that, I mean, it would probably be iced tea for anybody, but, like, that's just a way to connect the dots. Like, they were, you know, like, and apparently Belushi was on board. He was like, yes, I see this as, like, a serious career opportunity. And he was into it, so he stayed sober.
Well, I have a couple, actually, now that I remember.
Oh, my God, this beer gets worse.
We'll stop drinking.
Yeah, right. Stop drinking that.
You know D-Day, right?
So yeah,
D-Day.
Well, I know. Are you talking about the Aykroyd thing?
Yes, actually.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Very good.
Yeah.
Originally, D-Day was written for Dan Aykroyd.
Right.
And since actually it was
Lorne Michaels
actually said that if he took this part, he would be fired from SNL at the time. So he obviously did not take the part, even though it was written for him because of his love for motorcycles.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the opening scene with D-Day, you can obviously tell that nothing like blasting up the stairs on a Harley.
Except for Dan Aykroyd couldn't play that song on his throat. You know,
no, probably
that
not.
That was awesome.
Yeah, probably not. I think that was Bruce McGill's audition that sold him for the part. If you don't know who Bruce McGill is, maybe Wyatt would know, but I was a huge fan of MacGyver, and that's where I remember. He's been in countless of other things, but you know, I remember him from MacGyver for sure as Jack Dalton.
Really?
Yes.
Name drop.
Yes.
Yeah.
I had to. D-Day. You know, if you watch the other part that I did not.
The behind the scenes thing.
Yeah, the behind the scenes thing of Animal House with the Delta alumni review of, or the update to where they are. It's pretty good. So if you haven't, if you never watched that, please do.
I do like at the end how they have like where are they now things for no.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like it's a true story thing. Yeah, that's kind
of
funny.
Well, yeah, and that's exactly what was the best part about it, because it was taken as the perspective of that, and you know, Bluto and I think I can't remember her name, Babs, I think, and he ended up becoming president of the United States and. It was quite good.
And the doofus Greg is like a member of the Nixon administration.
Yeah, that's funny. I like that.
I'm just gonna start to kind of bash some things about this movie because I don't know. I don't know if this is stuff that is just like the dated nature of this movie, or if this is just like swinger. I don't know. Like, but did anybody else notice that when, which is first of all weird. Like, and it probably wasn't as weird back then, but like when Boone. And it, like Otter's getting ready, you know, like up in his room, and Boone's like there, like sitting, like watching him,
got like, his shirt off, and shirt everything. Off,
yeah. And wearing like a skirt. Did anybody notice this?
I thought it was a towel, but it was a skirt.
No, he walks over, and like he like unhooks something, and it's just like comes off him like a skirt. And I was like, I wrote it down. I was like, was that a fucking skirt? And it's just like kind of like I'm like. Dude, guys don't do that anymore. Like, let alone they don't, like, sit in... I mean, maybe you guys did, but I didn't. I didn't sit in any of my friend's room when they were, like, even with this towel on. Like sitting there getting ready, and you're just,
but,
like...
But, I mean, that was a dorm room.
Well, no, it wasn't a dorm room. It was a frat house.
But they shared room. No,
it was just Otter's room.
And that's what I mean.
That's right, because...
Yeah, it was literally Quagmire's house. I mean, his dorm room was Quagmire's house. Totally. I mean, he had the blinky lights. I mean, the only thing we didn't have was the rotating bed.
He might have. Maybe.
It could have. Yeah, he never turned it on, so you don't know. But
by the way, I mean, I'll admit right now, when Otter's hitting on Wormer's wife.
Yes.
Dude, she was a smoke show for a minute there to me. I'm like, when he was like, you know, when she was in his room with lingerie, I was like. Dang,
okay.
Dude. You know, I don't know. Maybe it was like one of those things, like the curvy nature of women back then.
The little lion in you. You're like, yeah.
Yeah, but I thought it was.
I thought yeah, I know why you guys like this movie had a bunch of boobies. That's why you fuckers like this movie.
I do think what we always like.
It's a bunch of boobies.
I do think that scene is hilarious though when he's you know, like charming her and like got the, you know, the music going in his room, and he's like throwing the ice cubes in the glass and missing. Like it's yeah, so perfect. It's like trying to be smooth when you're drunk, and you're just like
Quagmire.
Well, Quagmire probably did, like, did Family Guy do literally a scene like that? Like,
if they haven't, they should.
I've seen enough Family Guy. I mean, basically has, yes. But anyway,
might as well.
But seriously, though,
I heard the writer of Animal House was actually in the movie. He was the weird frat guy that was in their frat. He was kind of the weird. I forget what he has a famous line in the movie. I can't remember what he said.
Do you mean like the weird guy, like Stork?
Yes, exactly.
The guy that's like, what are you, a moron?
Exactly. That's a famous line. He actually wrote the movie, I thought that was interesting.
Wasn't he the guy?
He's the guy leading the band.
The band, yeah. Pushes that fucker out of the way and then leads him down a fucking alley. Yeah.
And he's a weird looking guy.
Funny thing about that.
Beaker from the Muppets.
Interesting thing about that gentleman is he actually wrote Caddyshack, and then Caddyshack was getting such bad reviews as far as what he wrote, he actually killed himself. So that guy was he did two movies. Caddyshack was one of them.
Really?
And this was Animal House as well. So
that's actually pretty fucked.
Pretty messed up. They were both really funny movies. So I wanted to throw it out there and give a little shout out to Wyatt's going to give us his name here.
Douglas Kenny.
Yeah.
Does that sound familiar?
It does. Kenny sounds familiar for sure. It
says he died on August 27th, 1980. That sounds right around when Caddyshack came out.
Yeah, that sucks.
Just wanted to shout that out. Another
Caddyshack
another,
writer, totally. That's him, Douglas Kenny.
Yep. Another interesting thing. I think they wanted a couple Saturday Live members, because Chevy Chase is actually in the running to play.
They wanted Bill Murray and Chevy Chase to play. They wanted Otter and Boone.
Right. Which you know, in my opinion, I love them both, and it was a different time then. But I don't think it would have been as funny. I really don't. And Vacation would have came out.
True. Well, true. Vacation may not have come out, but they never would have worked together anyway. Like Bill Murray and Chevy Chase.
Just in real life, semantics, like, they didn't like each other.
Caddyshack, when they...
Well, they never had any scenes together. Yeah. Well,
in Caddyshack, the only scene they ever have together, aside from a little SNL stuff, is in Caddyshack when it's...
I didn't know that. I hadn't heard
of that. They did not like each other.
Actually, you know, I've heard Chevy Chase is kind of a dick.
Yeah,
so.
And Bill Murray is
hard to work with. Yes.
A poke the bear type of guy.
Yeah.
You know?
He's
basically, I just imagine he fucked with Chevy Chase a lot.
You build up your life. I've heard nothing but great things about Bill Murray and nothing but terrible things about Chevy Chase when it comes to...
Wouldn't you not like want to fuck with somebody who just doesn't want to be fucked with?
Well, yeah.
It's like part of human nature. I mean, I'm going to poke the bear.
When you're a master fuck with her, too.
Yeah.
Chevy Chase had to be.
You got to do
just
it.
A dick.
Yeah. It's like the code. You know, don't be a dick. I'm going to fuck with you. You know, I will. Yeah, I'm going to bring it. So, well, that's excellent. So, I mean, what do we got?
Yeah, great movie. Good job.
No, it was great. So, I think we're pretty much going to close this out with the Dirty Minute. So, enjoy while we go out and get some drinks. So,
hey, look forward to Wyatt's pick next week. I'm excited about it.
Yes.
Yeah.
What are we picking?
Yeah, what are we doing?
We're dropping another classic from the 70s. We're going with Jaws.
Oh, keeping it old school.
Excellent. Like all right. Movie. Later, y'all.
Laters.
Hey, are you a magician?
No.
Because whenever I look at you, everyone else disappears.
Fuck off.
Okay. You know, I'm no weatherman, but you can expect a few inches tonight.
Fuck off.
Fine. Yep, that's the stuff. Hey, my dick just died. You mind if I bury it in your ass? Ugh, shit,
fuck
woman.
Off!
Fine, I'll just bury it in the peanuts then. Fucking peanuts.
Hey everyone, thanks for listening to Cinema Stash Rehash. Be sure to give us some awesome iTunes reviews, like us on Facebook, don't forget to check out past episodes, and join us next time on Cinema Stash Rehash.